This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the history of rock and roll from a vinyl point of view. In a world where B-sides and album cuts predominate, along with, at times, some not-so-subtle commentary, involving everything from the blues of the 30s to today's newest releases. We've been tasked with a massive responsibility, the origins of the music we love. So let's get started. Welcome to not only
number
a
nine,
new season,
nine,
but also to yet nine, another episode in the seemingly unending Vinyl Garage series of homegrown Ohio rock and roll. We had a lot to be proud of midway into the 70s with a number of exceptional radio stations, a healthy live local band scene, and the respect of national acts and record labels. Cleveland was the industry's darling, receiving the bare share of the musical accolades for the state, but that would change in 1976 when the Akron sound emerged, getting noticed by Rolling Stone magazine, who called the city the New Liverpool. We used to joke that there must have been something in the Rubber City's water to spawn the music that came from there. But according to two who speak authoritatively on the subject, although present differing theories, the influence for this artsy rock scene came earlier. 1966 for Para Ubu's David Thomas, and 1970 for Devo's Jerry Casale. It's no surprise that ground zero for the punk alternative genre was New York City and London. But you also have to include, of all places, Cleveland, Akron, Ohio. And that makes perfect sense, according to Thomas, who attributes the area's total lack of respect for authority and the norm to Ernie Anderson, or more specifically in this case, his Goulardi persona. The music from this generation of Goulardi kids was destined to push the boundaries of what's considered mainstream. This wasn't your father's record collection. Jerry Casale's take is darker. He attributes the anti-establishment scene in general and Devo in particular to the atmosphere that resulted from the Kent State shooting. You have to understand that this is the first generation in our history that came to the realization that their government lies to them. And thanks to May 4th, one that also fires live rounds at them. According to Casale, seeing effects of exit wounds of an M1 on his friends literally tends to skew one's take on what is or should be the norm. Those musically inclined saw their world devolving. The first Akron area band, actually Kent in this case, to release vinyl was 156075, the Numbers Band. Featuring Jack and Robert Kidney, Chrissy Hines of the Pretenders' brother Terry, and the soon-to-be-sacked and future Devo founding member Jerry Casale. They released their first LP titled Jimmy Bell's Still in Town in 1976. Recorded live at the Cleveland Agora the night the Numbers opened for Bob Marley and the Wailers, it took 6 years for their first studio LP titled Two to be issued, and another 5 for their third, Among the Wandering. The Numbers were a straightforward blues rock band that never did get signed to a major, unlike most of their contemporaries. Being one of only a few normal bands in a town known to foster the oddball may have worked against them. From the aforementioned Jimmy Bell LP, here's Animal Speaks, and from Among the Wandering, High Heels Are Dangerous, both scoring heavy airplay. Unfortunately for them, only local.
Jimmy.
fiction show up in my mind sometimes at night. Well, I wait for daylight, but nothing is said. Mama is wound too tight. Strangers been talking, pretending to know me. Do you believe every lie they see like I think all the women want me. People been running around, ripping it up, tearing it down. But I called you inside your glass. Will you move me the way you do? It's about how you move me, how I'd like to make you feel. Well, I wait for the daylight, and I wait eye to eye. Normal man delirious. They make a single man serious. Now high heels are dangerous. The little Richard knows what I mean. Spiked heels and tight blue jeans. Well, high heels are dangerous. They make a married man curious. They make a jealous man furious. Well, high heels are dangerous. Now Jerry Lee knows what I mean. He's got them walking all through his dreams. Well, high heels are dangerous. Well, high heels are dangerous. They're special where they make a warmer walk. Stops the action, stops the talk. They raise the heat, they raise the fuss. Well, high heels are dangerous. You're hard to handle, honey, heaven knows. You walk around in your peekaboo hose. Well, high heels are dangerous. Well, high heels are dangerous. They shake up the makeup, the very foundation. They wreak havoc on the male population. Well, high heels for rock the nation. Well, high heels for rock the nation. Well, high heels for rock the nation. It's hard to handle, fellas, yes, I know. It makes it walk like a Marilyn Monroe. Well, high heels are dangerous. 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 Well, high heels are dangerous.
The Kidney Brothers, while in the numbers or as a duo, continued to tour regularly, culminating in the Brothers' Cold Tattoo album in 2013. They are still able to be found on stage today at any number of venues in the Cleveland-Akron area where they take the idea of the blues very seriously. Here's an older recording from 1992 where, as the Kidney Brothers, they open for Lonnie Mack in the Netherlands at the Patronaat, performing Sonny Boy Williamson's Hootie Man Blues. You can't get any more serious than Sonny.
Floor and I hold up my hand, trying to make you keep telling me somebody done hoodoo, the hoodoo man.
Although the Numbers Band wouldn't be signed to a major label, their contemporaries couldn't say the same. And one of them, Tin Huey, ironically, featured their ex-bassist Chris Butler. From his time playing in New York City with the Numbers, Chris became familiar with Bob Christgau of The Village Voice, who wanted to experience the Akron sound personally, resulting in Bob showing up at JB's Down Under in Kent to hear the Hueys. Upon returning to New York, he rings up his friends, who happen to be the A&R reps from Warner Brothers, Karen Berg and Jerry Wexler, who, 2 weeks later, offer Tin Huey a contract. But let's backtrack a bit. Before the record contract, the Hueys released two 7-inchers on the Akron indie label Cologne. The first from 1977 showed their Captain Beefheart inspirations with cuts such as Puppet Wipes and Cuyahoga Bent. We'll hear the latter. The second single, 1978's Breakfast with the Hueys, was equally oddball. Example is the B-side, Squirm You Worm. Here's the Akron you knew was coming.
And he's in the bathroom, washing herself. She doesn't know what's in the backyard, pushing up the merry-go-rounds. Let me see your grandmother. Mecca, alleys dark with dead rose. All the people dying, insects, all they're looking for the carry-on. I let the people burn. We'll be right back.
Much like the dog that's been chasing cars for years, Warner Brothers, when they finally signed the Hueys, didn't know what to do with them, now that they had caught them, so to speak. They, for this mind of their own oddball band, decided in their "we're a national record label and we know better than you" attitude to have the Hueys, and you just heard their first two singles, record a pop song, Neil Diamond's and Monkees' cover, "I'm a Believer." It's no surprise that nobody cared or noticed. Warner sprung for an LP, 1979's contents dislodged during shipping, which, if you discount I'm a Believer, was more Huey-like, with a couple of cuts sounding very Devo-ish. But with the choice of the single, the damage was done. Here's "I Could Rule the World If I Could Only Get the Parts" and "Hump Day," two cuts that, if they showed up on a Devo LP, would have been very successful.
Jealousy, jealousy, jealousy. Got a dream, a white dream. I have it.
Don't really think you'd hear Tin Huey anywhere else, do you? Only on the Vinyl Garage.
Keep in mind in your work,
work, work, work, work, work.
Blue collar top dollar, 3 weeks pay, union shop, end of this, that don't stop. Ain't this the life? Sliding right for Wednesday, it's all downhill from here. The weekend's in my lazy boy, but fall fried chicken and beer. Yes, I need this job I'm doing, I need these bolts and screw. I stick it out, do double shifts, all three that have to do. I gotta work. Never mind what you mind, keep your mind in your work.
Work, 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 work.
Coffee break. Keep your mind in your work.
Work, 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 work.
Checking the specs and cashing my checks.
Work, 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 work.
Idle hands, the devil's playground.
Work, 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 work.
The last single by the Hueys was 1980's English Kids. Now back on the Clone label, the band went a bit mainstream, abandoning what made the Hueys special back in the 70s. finding little interest among the band's true fans, if there were any left after I'm a Believer, and not mustering any enthusiasm in the general listener, despite English Kids being a good record, the band was soon forgotten. Another band that the Numbers and Tin Huey would many times share the stage with was the Bizarros, which also happens to be the first Akron band to be signed to a major label, in this case, Mercury. The band's discography includes two EPs, one single, and a half an album, in addition to the Mercury LP released in 1979. The aforementioned self-titled album included new, re-recorded versions of songs from their first two EPs, along with other new material. Here's the newly re-recorded Lady Dubonnet and Laser Boys from their EPs and the LP's lead-off track, Young Girls at Market. Another Northeast Ohio punk band that took its cues from the Velvet Underground and the Stooges, and another example of why we all should be proud of the contributions this part of Ohio has given to rock and roll.
The Sunday Cafe de Marseille. I saw Lady Dubonnet with her arms wrapped round some soldier. The man would live to be much older. Discourse on feminine mystique with spurs of furs and a case of plastic. She wasn't doing it, but you know, favors. Ladies just trying to crowd the papers. Parts in some oriental opera. Soldier talks about the power of Sinatra. But when the talk gets banned through the wheels and the cards, just say it, just blame it on your running doors. soldiers walking through the door. Later spinning some distant shore. Offers no resistance. Separated by the distance. Things has it really come to that. To survive through reflection, the I look care. Grabs onto a lamppost. Says, drink brown paper toys. Daughter, the edge of reason. Her life has no season. And I guess there's nothing more to say. A knock for Lady Duvernay.
The red hairs of your face. With these lands of force.
Remember? Now, it was only 11 minutes ago when I mentioned the Bizarro's discography and their half an album. The next band was the other half, the Rubber City Rebels. The album titled From Akron featured five cuts by each and was released in 1977 on the Clone label. Originally called King Cobra and fronted by, and I can't think of a better name for a lead singer of an Akron band, Rod Firestone. They changed their name to the Rebels when they followed fellow Northeast Ohioans, the Dead Boys, to New York City and CBGBs. Returning to Akron, the band opened the only punk club in the Midwest, the Crypt, before leaving town again, but this time heading west to LA, where they became somewhat of a big deal on the strip, playing the Whiskey a Go-Go. Befriended by the Knack frontman Doug Feiger, they were offered a contract by Capitol, resulting in an album produced by him. We're starting with a band self-titled cut from the Akron LP, Rubber City Rebels.
East Coast, West Coast, we can talk.
The 1980 LP featured some polished re-recordings of some earlier singles, along with some new cuts. One of which, Somebody's Gonna Get Their Head Kicked In Tonight, the lead-off track, appears to be the stereotypical punk tune, but was actually the B-side to a 1969 Fleetwood Mac single, which we'll hear. A polished Young and Dumb, a re-recording of their first single, and, as we wrap up the Rebels and the show, from 2003's Pierce My Brain LP, I Don't Wanna Be a Punk No More.
Well, the tone is jumping, everybody's shot up before.
Oh, yeah!
Well, it's gonna be a pool of blood on the dance hall floor.
All right!
Yeah, somebody's gonna get their head kicked in tonight.
We're gonna rip up the chairs and tear down the wall. Smash up the band and we'll have a ball.
Leave everybody in a physical wreck. I say the whole dance hall will be a doggone.
Sits a little
There you have it. A perfectly good hour of your life listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your discerning taste. Questions, comments, undying allegiance, or complete disdain can be directed at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com or Facebook/Vinyl Garage Show. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening.
Great.